You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be switching our topics a little bit and talking with you about gardening with grains. You know, the grains growing in a field are beautiful, and they can look really nice in your garden as well. Bree Arthur, our guest by phone. She's a horticulturist, landscape designer, and author of the best-selling book, The Foodscape Revolution. She's a correspondent on the PBS TV show Growing a Greener World, shares gardening advice through her YouTube channel, Bree Grows, and she has a new book out. It's called Gardening with Grains. So, what do you think about growing grains in your landscape? What would you like to know about using them? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Bree Arthur, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and I really enjoyed your book. It's a delightful and read, and with all of the good writing and the great photography, it really is inspiring me to taking a look at gardening with grains a bit. How did you get going in this? I love the story that you tell about it.
Well, you know, it's all because of a great friend, a professor, that handed me a bag of wheat seed and basically challenged me to grow a loaf of bread, essentially. And I'll tell you what, it completely changed my life as a gardener and a designer, and really thinking about how we can use land in residential and commercial landscapes more effectively by using crop rotation. Something farmers do, but we home gardeners don't really do enough of.
Yeah, I think there's so many, you know, when you think about the diseases and the insects that can attack, the rotating makes so much sense.
Well, it really does. And, you know, that's the thing that I was trying to address in the Foodscape Revolution, is to get people to really see the available square footage that your landscape offers versus segregating your vegetables into one confined, you know, vegetable growing space that limits your opportunities for moving things around effectively.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us about how your book is organized and what all you've got in it, just to begin with here.
Well, I have it organized in three different sections. And the beginning half, I just want to provide people some background information on what cereal grains are and, you know, their history and the role they played in the human evolution on this planet. And then getting a better understanding of what genetic modifications mean and, you know, the big agricultural approach to growing cereals and how we home gardeners can play a role in growing something meaningful in our yards that could actually impact the way food is processed and transported across the country. The middle sections are really defining the grains and giving you specific ideas on how you can use them in your landscape or even as a container plant, ultimately looking at how you can process them and bring them inside your home, whether it's for decoration or for eating. And I have 13 recipes included so that everybody can try a fun recipe and share their harvest with their loved ones.
Well, yeah, I was looking at those recipes just as an aside. That yeast bread, it kind of goes back to what you were talking about a minute ago. You know, it would be really cool to grow your own grains for your bread.
And, you know, it's shockingly easy. The person who first introduced me to this idea of growing a bread garden is legendary author and designer and just an incredible person, Rosalind Creasy. And Roz has written 23 books on the subject of edible landscaping. And I remember her sharing a story with, she wanted to connect with her neighbors, and she lives in the Bay Area of California. So they would harvest their wheat for a New Year's celebration and have all the neighborhood kids come and bake bread. And they would, you know, share that with one another and have this authentic experience from her garden. And it's just been such a motivating factor for me to get all the neighborhood children in my area and beyond, with master gardeners and homeschool groups and school gardens, to be able to understand the joy of growing something that's really simple and low maintenance. Grains do that. You know, I always say, if you want to get a complex, grow tomatoes. If you want to feel like you have a green thumb, sow some grain seeds. I guarantee you that they will grow.
There you go. And as you say, not to just dwell on it, but, you know, frankly, you're going to get, you grow your own wheat and make that bread, you're going to have something that's more nutritious and full of fiber and worth eating than you've ever had.
And I say this jokingly, but there's a really strong grain of truth to it. When you grow, hand harvest, hand thresh, hand winnow, and hand grind your own grains, you can eat as many carbohydrates as you want.
There you go. Chris in Adams has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm horribly allergic to all cereal grains, and I was living out on a farm, and this guy was mowing alfalfa, and I was sick every day I was there. I deeply resent people planting this stuff in their yards and letting it go to the wind and coming into my space. Quinoa and the other members of the amaranth family, which are beautiful, beautiful flowers, are not members of the cereal family, and they can be grown. But I wouldn't want anybody in my neighborhood in the city planting this stuff in their yard, because it's going to blow into my yard and I'm going to get sick from it. So,
well, what do you say to that, Bree?
Well, I'm so sorry for your allergy. I know living in North Carolina, we have a lot of pollen-related allergies that, you know, yeah, you don't really have any control over where pollen blows. Yeah, you're right. The pseudo-cereals, things like amaranth, quinoa, chia, buckwheat are all great options that aren't in the Poaceae family. I'd imagine if you have an allergy to cereals, you likely are also experiencing allergy problems from common grasses that are used in turf. So it's likely not just cereal grains that, you know, will impact your health. But it's a great point. Grains are all wind pollinated, and that's one of the challenges that the grain category experiences, especially with regard to genetic modifications and the dispersal of those genes through, you know, just the wind moving those pollen grains around. So it's important that everybody be aware of that mechanism through the category of all plants in the Poaceae family.
Thanks again for calling. Joe emailed that he was inspired by your book. He started gardening with grains. He has heard there are some beautiful purple-headed barley varieties farmers grow in some parts of the country. Wondering if you have any recommendations on varieties of purple-headed varieties of barley. And I know you talk about barley as the beauty queen.
I love barley. I always think, you know, our nation is going through this great experience with microbreweries popping up everywhere. And I love the idea that you can't have beer without barley. Or you can't have most beer without barley. You know, I haven't grown any of the purple-headed varieties, but now I am going to have to track them down and get them started to grow here, because I have grown the blue varieties of wheat. Utrecht Blue is one that Botanical Interests offer, and you can buy that online and often even at local garden centers. There is no end to the diversity and the beautiful varieties that any of the grains offer. Barley in particular has the most beautiful awns, and when the sun shines through it, it's just one of those experiences that you fall to your knees and you take 1,000 pictures.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. It really is. Well, Todd in De Pere has something for us. Let's go there.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me. I was wondering if your guest could talk about the perennial grain called Kernza. It's been recently in the news for helping to sequester greenhouse gases, and they're trying to develop it to incorporate into our food. I did donate some money to some research on that, and they sent me a box of the Kernza cereal, wheat flakes. It was delicious, and I was wondering if they could comment on that and also where I might be able to find some seed to do a little experimental planting of Kernza.
All right. That's
a very exciting question. And unfortunately, I have basically the same information as you, because most of this is still proprietary. And I would anticipate that all of the perennial grains will become under patent, which is a very logical approach for making sure that the genome is able to be protected. But the progress with perennializing these cereal crops is really going to be a game changer for our planet. I am so excited every time I see an article that, you know, is giving more information on it. The idea of the carbon sequestering is really incredible. They have root systems that exceed 8 foot deep. You know, common annual grains typically go 36 to 42 inches deep, which is deep compared to most other annual crops. But the opportunities these perennial crops are offering will really be transformative for global agriculture and for all of our carbon footprint. I'm just so excited to be alive in a time where scientific advancements like this are happening. And I would love for you to keep in touch with me, and, you know, I just think it's a really bright future ahead.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call, Todd. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Well, what are the plants you consider to be grains?
Well, there's technically 8 proper cereal grains, and I distinguish them in 2 categories, cool season and warm season. And that's really related to your soil temperature, not so much air temperature. But the 4 cool season grains include barley, oats, rye, and wheat. And the warm season grains are corn, millet, sorghum, and rice.
And you know what? Everything but rice works pretty well here in Wisconsin, or can work well here in Wisconsin.
Exactly. And actually, I've had some people give me some anecdotal information from Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, where they've successfully grown rice in containers. Ideally black containers, because the black will heat the soil. And rice is very much a tropical plant. It likes really warm conditions. So the goal there is to put it in the sunniest area and basically solarize the soil so the plants are tricked into blooming through your short summer season.
Let's talk about using grains in your landscape as a design function. You've got some great ideas and some wonderful photos in your book that help us.
Well, yeah, you know, it was a real light bulb moment for me when I finally made the very logical connection that grains are no different than any of the ornamental grasses that are already very popular in the American landscape. And, you know, and to their credit, they offer an ecological function in that even if you don't grow the grains to eat the seed, passing birds will. And I, you know, I love to be able to support my local ecosystem through my organic gardening, and grains just seem like a really logical thing to be able to use in place of some of the more invasive varieties of ornamental grass, particularly Pennisetum varieties that are very heavy seeders, or, you know, perennial grasses like Miscanthus, which are starting to really pose a big problem as their seed blows in the wind, and then they start sprouting in areas and ultimately impact native plants. So I first started growing grains in clumps, just like an ornamental grass, because I wanted to make sure I didn't offend any of my neighbors. And everyone is used to seeing a clump of grass growing. And from that point, I also started to work with creating mixed meadow borders. I like the idea of an edible meadow. I love meadow plantings. I love visiting the prairie. But how can I take that and apply those ideas in my residential landscape? And so by mixing grains with other, you know, beautiful flowering annual plants like larkspur and poppies, or and other edible plants like mustard and kale, I'm able to achieve this really dynamic, biologically diverse space that still gives you the informality of a meadow.
Yeah.
And it's been really popular in my neighborhood. In fact, my neighborhood children have taken over our entryway, and they like to do this mixed meadow approach because it doesn't need a lot of, it doesn't need any irrigation. It has very low fertility needs. And it's just a really dynamic and unique, interesting way to invite people to come in and visit our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I'll tell you. Steve in Cumberland has something that I think relates to what you were just talking about in a way. Steve, hello.
Hi, got a similar question. We've got 10 acres in Cumberland, and a small, about an acre of it is field where we planted random fruit trees. But it's been invaded by goldenrod, and I wonder if there are grains that are especially strong as fighting off weeds or goldenrod. Not necessarily for the grain itself, though we will certainly look at that, but I wonder if it's a good control. Is any of it strong enough?
Yes. My two main recommendations would be oats through your cooler season, so maybe a fall planting that would ultimately help, you know, almost like overshadow the goldenrod in spring as the oats really develop. And then a warm season option would be sorghum. And sorghum is a plant that is only going to increase in its production. It's the most drought and heat tolerant grain on the planet. And it has very low needs as far as fertility or irrigation. And it's a very strong grower. Even in the north, it can grow upwards of 6 to 8 foot tall in one season, and would definitely help with trying to keep out some of the invasive perennials that you know, show up in unmanaged areas. I would recommend with the sorghum that, well, frankly, with both sorghum and oats, because the birds are so fond of their seed, you won't really find that they do a lot of self-sowing. So these would be plants that you would need to reseed each year.
But they will outcompete.
They will outcompete. And sorghum is a plant everybody really should have on their radar. It's a seed that's in every variety, typically of bird seed, of mixed bird seed. And it's also a gluten-free cereal grain. So, you know, for people that have gluten sensitivities or celiac, you can really get a lot of nourishment from adding sorghum to your diet. It's actually the highest level of magnesium and manganese of any plant on the planet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mary Poppins sang about a spoonful of sugar, she was actually referring to a spoonful of sorghum syrup.
Well, I think I've mentioned this in the past on my program, but my grandfather, he always had sorghum syrup, and he loved to put it on pancakes and other things as well. It's just tasty.
It's delicious, and not available often enough in our current society. I went on a sorghum syrup search last year, and actually Whole Foods was one of the only non-regional, non-local grocery stores that had it still stocked on their shelves.
Where do you purchase your seeds, or where do people go to find these grain seeds?
Well, there are a lot of really great common seed suppliers that do have grain seeds in their inventories. My first stop is always Baker Creek Heirloom Seed, which is rareseeds.com. I'm a huge fan of all of the plants they offer, and I love their website. It's really easy to maneuver. Southern Exposure Seed Exchange and Botanical Interest both include cereal crops. And Park Seed is offers some interesting rice varieties. They primarily sell those for ornamentation, but they do create edible seed when you grow from those. But if you do a quick Google dive, you'll find that there are endless sources for grains. It was one of those moments where I thought, I have 20 years of experience working full-time as a green industry professional, and I had no idea how big the agricultural world of cereals was until I started Google searching.
Well, how much, somebody wants to know, how much wheat do I have to plant to get a loaf of bread?
Surprisingly, not a lot. So some of the metrics that I work off of, my mixed meadow border is about 600 square feet, which really isn't that much space, particularly when you look at residential landscape lots. And we get about 20 pounds of ground flour from that 600 square feet, which is, frankly, more flour than I typically know what to do with. An interesting way that I'm really trying to get some metrics based off of container production, because I'm really encouraging people to get started with growing grains just by buying one seed packet, sow it directly in the middle of a pot.
And go from there.
Let it grow there.
Bree, it's a great pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Bree Arthur, author of Gardening with Grains. I think I'm going to give a copy of her book tomorrow morning at the Garden and Landscape Expo. Thanks, Bree. And thank you for listening. Come out, see me tomorrow morning at 9:30 at the Landscape and Gardening Expo. And in the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.